It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, October 7th, 2019. We have 9 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have north winds 5 to 10 knots backing around to the southwest in the afternoon, wind waves from the north 2 feet at 4 seconds, shifting to the southwest as that weather moves around. At 4 feet in the afternoon, west swells 4 feet at 11 seconds apart, and a chance of rain in the afternoon. So you can see the effect. The changing wind means that a weather system is moving through the area. And today we're going to learn more about that Arctic research expedition that's underway now, where they plan to get themselves stuck in the polar ice on purpose, create a research station, and float around for a year to study climate change. And that's happening right now. I talked with you about it earlier, maybe a few weeks ago on the Ship Report, and now they're actually on scene there near the North Pole, kind of waiting to get frozen into the ice. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have just one inbounder. We have 5 in our Astoria anchorage, and we have 3 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our only arrival in the river today so far is the Arcus, arriving from Los Angeles, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She'll be picking up weed eventually upriver, but she'll arrive in the anchorage to drop her anchor there at about 1 p.m. In the Astoria anchorage, we have 5 ships, the Kerberos, the Vijayanagar, the Gorgoypikos, the Supreme Star, and the Market Porter awaiting orders there. And you can see them sitting very high in the water because they don't have cargo yet. But they will when they come downriver. They'll be sitting much lower in the water after they pick up their weed or raw mineral products or whatever it is they're going upriver to get. And our outbounders, the Crux is leaving Vancouver carrying wheat, leaving around 12:30 p.m. She'll pass Astoria outbound around 6:30 p.m. The Bulk Draco is leaving Kalama carrying wheat around 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 10 p.m. And the Mikali is leaving Kalama with corn, soy, or wheat on board, leaving around 7 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around midnight. And let's take a look at that expedition in the Arctic. So I talked with you on the Ship Report recently about this expedition that's taking place right now near the North Pole. Scientists plan to spend a year in these icy waters studying the effects of climate change. They were headed up there last month to choose a spot to kind of hunker down for the winter. So this, what I'm about to read to you, is from the most recent New York Times article about this expedition. 2 weeks after leaving northern Norway for the central Arctic, and with the polar darkness settling in, an icebreaker carrying climate researchers settled next to an ice floe, putting itself at the mercy of the drifting ice for a planned year-long expedition to better understand the changing Arctic climate. Scientists on the 400-foot ship, the Polar Stern, and an accompanying Russian icebreaker selected the ice floe, which is roughly in the shape of an oval 1.5 miles wide by a little more than 2 miles long. Open water will rapidly freeze around the ship, locking it in place as it travels with a current called the transpolar drift. The floe's location is in the northern Laptev Sea, about 350 miles from the North Pole. That gives researchers what they say is their best chance of completing the expedition by drifting past the pole and then south to the Fram Strait, east of Greenland, next fall. Now, a little bit more about the Polar Stern, the ship in question. She is a double-hulled icebreaker. Now, that means that she has 2 watertight hulls, one inside the other, and that if the outer hull is breached for some reason, she still has that other hull as a backup to keep her seaworthy. She can operate at temperatures as low as 60 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. The ship is able to sail through 6-foot-thick ice with a speed of 5 knots, and she can break ice up to about 10 feet thick. Now, the ship contains 9 research laboratories for biological, geological, geophysical, glaciological, chemical, oceanographic, and meteorological research. And there are going to be literally hundreds of scientists over the year who are going to cycle through this ship and study conditions there. Now, icebreakers have tremendously thick and strong hulls, and they are very sturdy ships with fairly round bottoms, and they break through the ice by actually running themselves up on top of the ice floe in front of them and crushing it with their weight. So they create an open path in the water for other ships. Now, all of this technology almost makes it sound kind of easy. Adventurous, but maybe even a little cozy, like they're going to tuck themselves up into an ice floe for the winter, kind of burrow in and do research. Sounds almost kind of nice, but the truth is that the polar environment is brutal at best, and winter is its most brutal time. So as I was thinking about this story, I happened to pick up a book I bought recently and hadn't started to read yet called Endurance. It's the story of the Shackleton Expedition, which is an amazing story of survival at the South Pole in Antarctica, where in 1915, polar explorer Ernest Shackleton and the crew of the Endurance, a sailing ship, made a harrowing journey through those polar waters to get back to civilization. But the start of their survival journey happened when their ship, the Endurance, was caught in a polar ice floe and literally crushed until it sank. So to give you an idea of what the Endurance was like, she was a very sturdy ship for her day also, and although she had a wooden hull, her hull was 2 feet thick. She was a very capable vessel for her time. So in late 1915, in October actually, 1915, in a place called the Weddell Sea near the South Pole, the Endurance became trapped between ice floes and was literally crushed by the ice until she broke up and sank. This took a while, so the crew had time to evacuate a bit nervously, but eventually they stood on the ice and watched their ship compressed into pieces and splinters. Now, this book by author Alfred Lansing, it's very well written, and his description of the ship is quite compelling, and it gives you some idea of the huge and dynamic forces at work in a polar environment in the colder seasons and what the ship that is up there now will have to withstand. He describes it in this book, Endurance, from the perspective that many sailors have about their vessels, who see them as a living thing. So it's dramatic and somewhat and poetic, but it explains how scary it would be to watch your ship, your home in that environment, that harsh environment, being destroyed in slow motion right in front of you. But in this universe of ice, nowhere was the movement greater or the pressure more intense than in the floes that were attacking the ship. Nor could her position have gotten worse. One floe was jammed solidly against her starboard bow. Another held her on the same side aft. A third floe drove squarely in on her port beam opposite. Thus, the ice was working to break her in half directly amidships. Forward, where the worst of the onslaught was concentrated, the ice was inundating her. It piled higher and higher against her bows as she repelled each new wave, until gradually it mounted to her bulwarks and crashed across the deck, overwhelming her with a crushing load that pushed her down even deeper. The ship reacted to each fresh wave of pressure from the ice in a different way. But most agonizing for the men were the times when she seemed a huge creature suffocating and gasping for breath, her sides heaving against the strangling pressure. More than any other single impression in those final hours, all the men were struck, almost to the point of horror, by the way the ship behaved like a giant beast in its death agonies. And that is quite a dramatic passage from Endurance. But when I read that, I thought, my gosh, you know, those really are the forces that are at play for the polar stern in the Arctic. She's just way better prepared to handle them. But I wonder what sort of eerie sounds the people that are on that research project will hear as the ice maneuvers around them and exerts pressure on the ship. So let's send them good wishes. You can follow their journey on their blog, by the way. The Polar Stern has a blog, and you can find it easiest by Googling Polar Stern blog, and a link will come up. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.